It's a good Friday. Friday with Skumba and Dumiso. Kaya FM 95.9.
Blom Blom with Skumba and Dumiso on Kaya TV.
Feeling really good right now. Life is really good right now.
This is Kaya FM, home of the Afropolitan Kaya FM 95.9. That was the sound there. If you just joined us, the sound there of KO giving us music live here in studio. Come on, guys. Another round of applause.
I feel so starstruck,
man.
This is not weird. You're not the only one, Bao.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, Papa. I'm just like, do I have all my things in order? How are you doing, sir?
Upgrading yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
having me. Uskumba has had, like, proper FOMO, like, when he found out that he's going to be on a plane when you are here. He's been texting me and telling me, you must ask him this, you must ask him. I'm like, stay in Japan.
Texting you in Japanese. So your new album has just dropped.
Yeah, man, it feels surreal. It's crazy because this is my 13th year in the music business. Mm-hmm. Came in as Tear Gas. So this is technically my 7th album.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, it's just been a blessing having to be in this space for so long, and my music resonating with people of all different ages, the grown and, you know, the young ones. So yeah, PTY Unlimited just dropped this morning.
You know, I'm so blown away by someone who's got so much energy, because he gave us like a really proper performance. It's like 7 in the morning. Of course, we are going to be having him for Blom Blom, where we are going to delve just a little bit deeper into the man, the musician, the artist, and the great artist that he is.
Yes, of course. So that will be in a short while, KO will be chilling with us up until the top of the hour. It is Kaya FM 95.9, the home of the Afropolitan. It is Good Friday. So that's all that matters. And of course, I brought you KO. I mean, come on now. We are chilling in the studio with KO. He decided to come through and pay us a visit. His new album dropped at midnight. You know, the lead up to the dropping of your album, ne?
Yeah.
You have a fantastic hype team. Like, I felt like there was FOMO for me being asleep at that time when it was actually made available this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, I mean, I don't really have a hype team per se, but I give all the credit to the people that support me.
Yeah.
You know, I think we probably, obviously, you know, set a great trajectory for ourselves early in the year with Super Duper.
Mm.
And people just saw the energy, you know, that I was putting across, a revitalized version of myself, re-energized and more focused, and an artist and a personality that showed more character, you know. So I think even all the way into Say Well, and you know, people just like appreciated the dynamics of what I had to offer, you know, to the game in 2019. So as a result of that, I think, and God obviously being on my side, and all the hard work that we've put in, it's playing out the way that it is.
You know, going straight from the very present, the latest thing, and because this is obviously another summit for you. Let's go back to the beginning.
Yes, sir.
You're growing up, okay? You born in Soweto, you moved to Mpumalanga, and so on. One of the things that have always struck me about you is I've always felt as if you were one of those people. Were you a reserved child? Were you an introvert? What kind of child were you?
Yeah. So I was born in Barra because my mom, you know, was working there. But we are based in Mpumalanga. That's like where home is. So I literally came up from in Mpumalanga. Coming back to the introvert question, I don't think I was actually meant initially to be in the music business, purely because I'm someone even till this day who still like suffers a lot from like being shy and stuff, you know. So as a result, I've never been like a very forthcoming individual. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, very reclusive and I keep to myself. I remember when we first broke out as Tear Gas, because I remember as a kid, whenever I had to speak like in front of the family, dude, like I would literally pee my pants, you know. But you know, so when we broke out as Tear Gas, my dad, you know, who was never really vocal as far as like this whole interest in me, my interest in music, he just suddenly said, like, dude, I'm actually quite shocked. You're the very person,
yes, among us.
Yeah, well, who is doing this thing where you used to struggle as a kid. It used to frustrate the hell out of me because he's a very active person in at church,
church,
you know.
Yeah.
So like, he's used to handling crowd and he's a very good speaker. So it used to frustrate him, you know, how I used to behave as a kid and how much I struggled and deal with just like public speaking. And then now, boom, suddenly I'm an artist and he's seeing me performing in front of thousands of people. So.
Would you then say that you have an alter ego? Like, do you have something that you switch
on? I'd say so. Yeah. Dogozo is someone that is like very reserved and, you know, introverted. I don't think people really want to get acquainted with KO or because sometimes I'm very, that person, that version of me is very witty and, you know, and some people even say comes across as, you know, slightly very conceited.
Oh.
You know? So, but like that's only just the performer side of me, you know. And when I put on that hat, I need to make sure that, like, you know, I pull all the stops, that people, I command people's attention. You know, my work, you know, it needs to speak volume. So that's the business side of me. But like the humane side of me is Untogoza and just nje umntwana onamahloni.
I think you detail quite a lot of your childhood and your family life in your song Above the Water, which was released back then. Yeah. And when I listened to it, I'm like, okay, you know, when you have parents that worked for government, I mean, my mom was also a nurse. Yeah. She worked at Para for a very long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have a father who's very active in the church as well.
Yeah.
Was your household very strict? I mean, I can't even go out to this day. I am 30 years old without my mom being on my back. You know, like, how is it?
Yeah, when we were growing up, I think they instilled some great values in us as kids. Obviously, not every kid turns out the same. I've probably say I'm the odd one out, you know. I have three siblings. The other guys are like very sociable and, you know, they like super outgoing. You know, when they would go out and stuff, I'd stay at home and just like listen to music and just like headphones, and my mom would be like, what are you doing here? And like be helping her with the dishes and stuff, you know. So it was kind of crazy. But like when I go out and, you know, just like show the manly side of things, you know, she'd be like pretty surprised. And as a matter of fact, with that being said, it actually took me a while for me to even introduce my girlfriend to my parents, because we were raised that way.
Yeah,
you know, my brothers have kids and stuff, you know. But for me, it took me the longest. I was the last person to even introduce someone, you know, to my parents, because I just never understood. I never knew how they would take it.
Yeah.
You know, okay, oh, so cool, you know, like, you know, yeah, all those kind of things, you know. So the discipline that I that was instilled in me as a kid, it really went a long way, because even for me, being in the entertainment space, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and you know, certain people look at me like, wait, what are
don't
you doing?
Don't they call you guys the espresso guys or something? Yeah, aren't you guys the latte,
guys? Yeah, sometimes I drink cappuccino in the club, so pretty cool.
Oof, it's swaggy. I think it's on another level.
So it's all part of just like my upbringing, all those values.
You know, going back to now your musical journey, because I imagine that at some point, do you actually remember a time where you started thinking to yourself, hip hop? I'm just trying to imagine, like, the first hip hop album that you ever bought. I mean, who was influencing you in this particular direction? Because I'm just assuming that you started going in the hip hop direction. Meanwhile, you could have been listening to Mbaqanga and then, you know.
Well, maybe you're the one who found it. I'm a piano. We don't know.
I don't want to take credit for anything. I'd say I probably got acquainted with hip hop music through my older brother, who back in the day was a break dancer. I never understood what hip hop was, because I mean, at the time, you know, Akaya, they would play a lot of, you know, the Brenda Fassie, growing up, and into Baker, you know, that's what I was acquainted to as a kid. And then suddenly this guy, you know, comes out and he's playing up with Snoop Dogg and all these guys, and I'm like, okay, so this sounds actually interesting. Plus, I mean, he was like my role model, so I was just fascinated by how these guys are speaking over beats, but it makes such musical sense, you know. So I started delving into it and like really taking it seriously until like I'd say towards the end of my high school, that's when I started actually writing my own stuff. I started off by like, you know, writing other people's and like other people's verses and just like mimicking that. The first CD I bought, there's a group called Gangstar. It's Guru, who's now passed on, and DJ Premier. They're from New York. So like I started getting acquainted with just like, you know, that type of hip hop, you know. And then a couple of years later, I became a huge Tupac fan. And and then I wasn't really into like mainstream hip hop until Jay-Z showed us how to, you know what I mean? To be fly and stuff, you know. So like I started studying that, like, you know, pretty close. And as, you know, the game evolved, when I decided to take music really seriously, when it comes back to South Africa, for instance, the first person that just made me, because this entire time I was rapping in English.
Yes. Mm.
You know, I was like a little American wannabe.
Boom,
rap.
Yeah, you know. So the first person that like really switched on my vernac was R.I.P. Pro Kid.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, that's the guy that I literally molded myself around, you know, in terms of like sharpening my penmanship and everything like that. And then obviously Squatter Camp, they taught me how to make hit songs.
Yes.
So, you know, it was a combination of those things, and also R.I.P. Jabba, you know, and Proverb also, you know, who I know is part of this family.
Yes.
One of ours. Yes.
You know, these are all the people that molded me to become the person that I became. So I have all these different shades of all these different artists, and just learning the industry. And also like now, when I, after Tear Gas, when I started working on my first album, Skanda Republic, I turned my back on SA hip hop completely. Not to say I turned my back on it, but like in a negative way, but like I literally just like tunnel visioned into Kwaito music.
I
wanted to understand what made these guys so great, you know, and why because after all these years, even with the success of ETA, I guess, you know, the highest we went as far as like a successful album was like gold. Jaggers was...
It was huge.
It was huge.
It was massive,
you know?
Yeah.
But like, I never understood why the Zege Zeges and the Brown Dashes, rest in peace, were doing like multi-platinum, you know. You know, all those guys. So I'm like, I wanted to find out. I wanted to understand the formula that they were using. So when we made Karakara, it was... I was literally a... fresh out of school, so to speak, of just me studying that
quite
whole
a school,
you know what I mean, how they did their thing. And when I was working on my album, I had the backdrop of Ikwaito the entire time, and that's how the album came across, you know. And as a result, because of just like that conscious decision, it allowed for me to resonate a lot more, and that whole trend started, you know, permeating down to the other artists as well. So you saw how now suddenly, you know, there was this little skanda over there, you know, and you know, it played out the way that it did. And it only requires for us to just like really take our craft seriously, and also being fully aware of where we come from as a people, because we need to package that very same feeling and sell it to our people, because that's how they will support us to the fullest.
So, yeah. You know, speaking about albums, we obviously have you here today to celebrate another milestone. You have just released a new album. What can the Afropolitan expect in this album? Because I know that your music is one of those, your albums, you can play in the car, you can have, I have a 6-year-old, I have an 18-year-old niece, and then here comes Miu Makoko, and we can all be jamming to the, I know, I just like to say that so that people are like, no man, you look young and hot and stuff. But yeah, so how do you make music that kind of transcends the different age groups? And with this particular album, what can the Afropolitan expect?
I think with this one, I was studying also just like the trends and where we are as a nation. I mean, you heard in the performance, there's a song that I did that almost has like my piano influence to it, you know. So it's adapting and understanding and being on top of your game, and knowing what's ahead of the curve and stuff, like, because there's twists and turns in this industry. So sometimes if you don't adapt, it's easy for you to just like, you know, fade into obscurity. So with me, especially when I was building this album, I was making it with the idea of making sure that it's an album that you can play from the first track all the way to the last one.
Yeah.
You know, I know sometimes, you know, the language is a bit strong. I mean, as much as you're saying, you could be sitting in the car with, like, you know, the little one.
It's the radio edit.
And,
you know, we play the radio edit.
You know, sometimes it gets real crazy out there.
Yeah.
when KL, you know, gets into his bag. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just understanding the fact that, like, I'm not making music solely for myself. It's making music that the people can jam to. I said something the other day that, like, this album, with this album, I'm selling a mood, you know, to the audience. Because I feel like, I mean, that's why I call it PTY Unlimited, because it's the type of album that I feel like, as much as, like, you might have gym music,
yes,
you know, gym playlist, this is an album that you need to listen to when you are at work, when you are hustling and, you know, trying to make a difference in society or take your hustle, level of your hustle, to the next level. So, this is the album that is supposed to help you, you know, make it through, help you make it through, you know, in a less fatiguing way and stuff like that, you know. The music is just like sonically so right, the energy is so positive, and the messages that are on there, I'm sure a lot of people are gonna embrace them.
In 30 seconds, how do people access this music? Where do they download it legally? Guys, buy the music.
The album is available on all digital streaming platforms right now. Music on Apple Music, Spotify. I also have the physical CD. It's available in stores at Musica and all those places. Also, the big one happening tonight, I'm celebrating the release of my album at Zone 6, Super Duper Summer. It's going to be crazy. I have Scorpion Kings, I have Simi, Techo, a whole bunch of other guys. I bought Speedstar. Please pull up and support.
I'm going to be there, actually. I've got nothing to do today.
Let's go.
And yeah, I'm ready, actually.
Let's go.
When?
Thank you
so much, DKO, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Blom Blom with Skumba and Dumiso on Kaya TV.
It's a good Friday with Skumba and Dumiso. Kaya FM 95.9.